what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive. This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive. And our hope forever is the name of Jesus. We are free and you are with us. The church is alive. The church is alive. This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive.
Worship here in a minute, but we're going to go into some announcements. As if you haven't realized, we are kicking off our brand new three-week series right now called At the Movies. I am just so excited about this. I said from day one that I think church can be exciting and fun and look forward to coming to it while still worshiping God and learning more about Him. So that's what we're trying to accomplish here. So coming up June 2nd, we are saying goodbye to Leticia. As much as it pains me to say this, she has been amazing. And we will definitely miss her very, very much. But her time here is coming to a close very quickly. If you'd like to come help us say goodbye to her, you're all welcome. Please let Lacey know. June 3rd is my official installation. We'll also be celebrating the anniversary of River of Hope, saying thank you to Pastor Dennis. And we will be having a meal afterwards. I do have a sign-up sheet. We'll get this going around right now. Sign up if you'd like to bring something. And Jackie, did you want to come talk about the last two things here?
June Jumpstart is a Can't See the Wind devotional that I would like to do. Clover's going to give me a hand. So we needed something to do when the kids are at youth group, which we have an awesome youth group on Tuesday nights from 6:30 until 8 o'clock. So we're going to meet at the library for 3 weeks, and that's it. So it's like a big jump start. It's quick. It's going to be simple. If you haven't read this devotional yet, it is very easy to read. And I have copies for everyone. They were donated to the church. And so we just ask that you don't write in it. But if you would like to join us, you show up at the library June 5th. And, yeah, yes, June 5th, 6:30, small meeting room, which is inside the library. So you can invite anybody you'd like to come. We have 18 copies. We can chair. We can do it. It's, like I said, super simple, quick way to get into the Word of God and get going for the summertime. The other thing, we have a baby bottle drive. So we are collecting money for, you can fill up take a baby bottle and fill it up, bring it back. It starts right now until June 19th. So this is, all the money is going to be going to Abiding Care, which is our pregnancy resource center in town, which if you don't know, I kind of work there. So I'm a nurse manager at Abiding Care, and it's very part-time. So we're open 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursdays from 11 to 5. And so we're, Josh came down the other day and we had the pleasure of showing him around, and the staff really got to know Josh, and he was just so excited and so happy to start right away in supporting the center. So you can take a baby bottle, take it home, fill it up with your spare change, whatever you'd like. If you'd like to know what it's used for, you can take one of these as well. It kind of explains how the center is funded off of donations only. We don't take any state funding. We don't have any, you know, it's all run purely by our community. And it is such a great resource. And we are reaching out to people from Anago, Park Falls, Athens, Thorpe, everywhere. And because the center just loved Josh's personality, River of Hope is very special.
Ooh,
we're up for a challenge. challenge. They said, I said, Pastor Josh would totally be up for this challenge in filling up the big, big baby bottles. So if you want to help Pastor Josh out, we're going to help you fill this puppy up too, okay?
Awesome. I gotta tell you, so now that I'm officially here, 3 days a week, I am out in the community. When I interviewed, I said, if I get this position, there's really no point to me being in the church building during the week. I said, I'm going to be out in the community. And one of the places I knew I had to stop was a Biting Care Resource Center. Among other things is what they do is they offer counseling programs, free pregnancy tests. So if a woman has an unexpected pregnancy, there's a lot of emotions, a lot of things that are going on. A lot of these women are coming there because they're thinking about ending the baby's life, and they just present it to them that this is a real viable human being, and they offer anything they can. This does not stop if a woman decides to keep the baby, it does not stop there. They can go back and they can get training, and the training actually helps them get some baby supplies, stuff like that. It is an awesome place to have. It is an awesome thing. They care about women. They care about babies. So I knew I had to go there. So when I walked in, I said, hey, I'm Pastor Josh. I'm the new lead pastor at River of Hope. And they're just like, yeah, we've been waiting for you. They're like, we were literally just praying this morning. How can we get more pastors involved and in you come? And so as they're showing me around their building, they start talking about the baby bottle drive, and I kid you not, in the one office, a tote full of baby bottles with my name on it. If that's not God directing my paths, I don't know what is. And I encourage everybody, if you can make it, I will not be able to make it because I'll be coaching soccer on Tuesday nights now. But a big part of this thing is connecting with others. It's also, I think it's really awesome that we're getting out of this building to do this. We're going to be in the library. So maybe people there are like, hey, what's going on in there? And they'll join in. This is all about connecting. So we're going to get back in worship in just 1 minute. But now that Kurt's here, I just got to share this story. Kurt was gracious enough to offer to take me fishing yesterday. And it was a really calm day when we left. When we got to Miller, God decided to make the waves crash really large. And we looked at it and we thought, maybe we shouldn't try to take this itty-bitty little boat out here. But you know how men are. We're going fishing no matter what. Well, we learned that a small boat on big waves does not work. We sunk the boat. And I tell you what, so plan A, we're trying to bail this thing out. And as we're bailing, the waves are crashing onto it. And we're just like, yeah. I'm like, okay, plan B. And I kid you not, I stood up on the dock and I'm like, be calm. And yeah, my faith was not that strong yet. Apparently I need to pay attention to what we're going to preach about today in just a minute. But we're going to go back into worship. Kurt, thank you very much for, I got to tell you, if I wish I could have videotaped Kurt while this is happening. He's looking at his boat, sunk in, stranded on the sand and the rocks, and he's just making jokes. He never once got angry or mad. He is just making jokes. He's like, hey, still beats working. So, all right, we're going to go back into worship. Let's all stand back up. Now, I know sometimes we get a little bit tired and it's kind of early in the morning. So let's all just stretch our hands, waving. Everybody get your hands up as high as you can. If I haven't, Nick, you want to take tithes and offering for me? It's up here. Let's just continue on in this spirit of praise while we do this. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise, for you alone are worthy of all of our praise, for you are so great and so merciful to us, and you have blessed us, Lord. You continue to show our blessings, and like the song says, you do create beauty from ashes. If we let you, you will give beauty to our lives, Lord. We ask now that you would bless this offering, that we give back to you what is rightfully yours, and that you would use it to advance your kingdom and for this city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I know I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I'm just so excited to dive into this series. When I thought about doing it, I wasn't sure how it was all going to work. And then God just said, boom, 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 boom. Here, it's all laid out for you. Do it. So I actually went and got a copy of the movie Spider-Man Homecoming so I could watch it, so I could kind of figure out what I'm going to say here. using God's investment to become superheroes of faith. So, in the movie, Spider-Man, Peter Parker, teams up with Tony Stark, who is Iron Man. And Tony invests in Peter Parker. How does he invest in him? He gives him this brand new suit, much better than the homemade thing that Peter Parker made. And so because Tony invested in Peter Parker, he expects something out of that investment. That's how life works. If you put money into something, like Dwayne has a business, if I would put money into Dwayne's business, I would expect something to come out of that. That's how investments work. So Tony Stark invests in Peter Parker, and what does he expect of him? Tony expects of him, when he calls, Peter Parker will answer the call and come help them. He also, as we go further in the movie, we find out that the suit is designed to train Peter Parker to become a better superhero. So part of the thing that Tony expected Peter to do was go through all the training. Now, in the movie, Peter tries to skip all that training. There's some hilarious effects because he doesn't know how the suit actually works. But, so how is this biblical truth? That's all science fiction, and it's very entertaining, but how is it biblical? Here's how we're going to tie it back into you. God has invested in you. Thank you. God has invested in you, each and every one of you. And now there are four questions we need to ask ourselves today, and this is what we're going to look into. Four questions we need to answer. The first one is, what does God expect of me? Now remember, I just said, if I invest into a business, I expect a return on my investment. God has invested in you, and he does expect a return, and we'll figure out what he expects. Number two is, how can I increase that investment? Third question is, what results will my actions bring? There's a law of physics. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Same thing applies in our Christian lives. How, whatever we do, there will be a reaction to what we do. And then finally, what will I do with the investment? Let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you because we love you, God, for all that you are. I pray now that you would open our hearts and minds to hear this truth that you have for us as we go forward, that you would lay bare what we need. If we need conviction, that you would convict us. If we need comfort, that you would comfort us. That you would help me bring forth this vision that you showed me for these people, that they would be able to walk greater in your faith and in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So our main text today is from Matthew 25:14-30. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Matthew 25:14-30. Now, this is a very common parable. Jesus always taught in parables. A parable is a story or an analogy to bring forth spiritual truths. It's much easier to understand because you can compare it to your real life. So here's how this parable goes. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents. In this case, a talent is money. To another, one. To another, two. And to another, one. Each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also the one who had 2 talents made the 2 talents more. But he who received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he who also had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here. I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much, much. Enter into the joy of your master. He who also received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You wicked and slothful servant. We're going to come back to those words. I want you to remember them. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seeds. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given and will have with abundance. But from one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness and a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, like I said, this is a parable, so it's an analogy. So God isn't telling you, you have to go make $1 million for him. If you do, that is great. He's talking about investing back into his kingdom. He has given each one of you, he has invested in you. He invested in you by the bloodshed of his son to cover your sins. So what does God expect of me? The first thing he's going to expect of you is a return of his investment. Matthew 14, 26 to 27. He's going to expect with interest what you are bringing back to him. He gave up his son to die on the cross for you. He has blessed you. Now he expects you to be working for him. God expects you to bring forth fruit. Mark 11, 12 through 25. And that's where Jesus is going along, and from a distance, he sees a fig tree. Now hungry, he goes up to the fig tree. And when he gets there, the fig tree has no fruit on it. Now here's the kind of the crazy thing. It was not the time of the year for figs. There was no reason for that fig tree to have fruit on it right then. But God did this to show us an example. Jesus did this to show us an example of what he expects of us. He expects us to be bearing fruit in season and out of season. There is no couple months where we're supposed to be working for God and the rest we're going to take off. He expects fruit day in and day out. You know what he did to that fig tree? When he got there, he saw it had no fruit. He cursed that fig tree and he said, "No more shall anyone ever eat of you." And that fig tree withered up and died. Remember when I said, let's go back to that, remember that wicked and slothful servant? He expects investment. He expects fruit from your life in season, out of season, at all times. God expects you to be the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:13. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt. Back in that time, do you know salt was so valuable that soldiers were actually paid in salt? Salt was used as a preserver. It was this amazing commodity. And then he says, but what good is salt if it loses saltiness? You throw it out in the street and it's trampled underfoot. Do you see clearly what God is showing you? Repeatedly, over and over and over again, if you are following me, you better be bringing forth fruit. You better be producing. He says, he expects you to be the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. For if you have a light, you don't put it on the bush. You don't put a basket over it. You set it on the top of the hill so all may see that light. For better or for worse, when you claim the name of Christ, when you say, I am a Christian, you automatically get a target put on you. Everybody is going to watch you, how you interact every single day. They're going to see you when you are waiting at waiting at a table and you're not getting served. How you respond to your waitress? Do you respond in anger or do you show love? Your life should be such a shining example to God that others will look at you and say, there is something radically different about that person. They should never be able to say to you, do you see that Christian? He's just like all the others. He's a bigot. He's a hater. He's a hypocrite. We should be showing love to everybody at all times. That doesn't mean you can't tell someone they're a sinner bound for hell. That's showing them love. But that doesn't mean because someone is a sinner, we can't embrace them and keep helping them and showing them love. My personal belief, taken from the Bible, is that homosexuality is a sin. I believe unrepentant sinners, taken from the Bible again, will spend eternity in hell. I have friends who are gay and lesbian. They know where I stand on this. I made it very clear when I meet them, this is where I stand, this is what you need to do. If you don't do this, you're bound for hell. Because the last thing I want is become friends with them, and then 6 months down the road, they come back to me and say, oh, so you think I'm doomed for hell? They know where I stand. I still love them. I'm still friends with them. I still help them out. We need to get rid of this hatred that we sometimes have for people who are different skin color. That is so stupid. I've never heard anything so stupid in my life that you think you're better than someone because your skin is lighter than theirs. We're going to hate someone because they're not from our country. This country was founded on immigrants, for crying out loud. How is that showing love? God expects you to warn others that there is a punishment for sin, Ezekiel 33:6. I have brought this up before, and I'm going to keep bringing it up. Penn Jillette is a devout atheist. He is a devout atheist. A Christian businessman went to his show and had backstage passes. When he went backstage, you know what that Christian businessman did? He presented the gospel to Penn Jillette. Do you know how Penn responded to him? He said, I have the utmost respect for people who share the gospel. Because while I do not believe it, if you claim you are a loving person serving a loving God, and you believe they're going to spend eternity in hell, how could you not warn them that you think that is coming? If we truly are loving on our neighbors, we will warn them that hell is coming. If you die in your sins, God has no choice but to send you to hell. He expects you to be telling people. He even says, if you warn them not and they die in their sins, their blood will be accounted, you're responsible for their blood. I want no one on the day of judgment, when I get to heaven, I want God to say, these are the people you never bothered to share the gospel with. These are your friends, your family, the people you met in the street. I walked into a bar, restaurant, and a guy sitting at the bar had a shirt on, and it had a license plate, and it said EVL666. And immediately I went, perfect opportunity to start talking to this guy. But then that fear came up in me. I'm like, well, I'm going to get thrown out. So we sat down and started eating. And this music came on. And we were debating what genre of music it was. All right? So finally I said, the Spirit is just like, God's like, how many more opportunities do you need? Get up and talk. So I said, excuse me a second, I'm going to talk to these guys. So I get up there and I said to them, what kind of music is this? We're debating the genre. They said, oh, we call this stoner rock. I was like, oh, you don't have to be stoned to listen to it though. I said, no, it's got a good beat. I mean, it was catchy. Music's catchy. It was not God honoring at all. And I said, boy, I gotta admit, when I first walked in, I noticed your shirt right away, and it really caught my attention. He goes, yeah, kind of cool, huh? I said, do you know what that stands for? He's like, yeah, 666, Mark of the Beast. He's like, this is one of my favorite bands. That's their album. I said, oh, that makes a little more sense. I said, but if you know it's the Mark of the Beast, do you know the Bible? He's like, oh, yeah, I know. What do you think I do? I'm like, so are you a good person? He's like, oh yeah, well, my good outweighs my bad. Boom, I was off and running. We got into the gospel. Now they shut me down. About halfway through what I was doing, they're like, are you trying to save me? I'm like, I'm trying to share the gospel with you. I said, I can't save you. I just want to share the gospel with you. Now, I got all the way to the bad news, and they were so non-receptive that I had to stop. But I know the Spirit, I know the Word of God will not return void. It'll go out what it was set to do. And many people in that bar/restaurant heard those words. Those are a few less people that I don't have to worry about on Judgment Day. Turns out his grandmother, the main guy I was talking to, used to be a minister in the Assemblies of God. Finally, what does God expect of you? He expects you to follow his commands. We talked about this a little bit last week. The Ten Commandments have not gone away. The sacrificial law, that's gone. The Levitical law, you're not a Levitical priest, so that's gone. But God expects you to follow the Ten Commandments. In fact, what he said was simple. He said, just obey these two commands. Love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you'll keep all the law. Think about that. If I'm going to go steal something from Josh, am I loving him? If I'm going to cheat on my wife, is that showing love? If I'm going to say I'm not going to come to church because I got better things to do, is that loving God? You see how easy this is? That's what it all comes down to. Don't get caught up in the hoopla. This is just simple. Love God, love your neighbor. How can I increase that investment? So, God wants you to increase his investment, but how can you do it? We'll look to Romans 10:17. Pardon me, I forgot my big Bible at home, so I got to go off my phone. By reading the Word of God, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. If you want stronger faith, man, you can do more when your faith is strong. In India right now, all they can rely on is God. They are reliving the book of Acts in India right now. They will walk into homes where people are praying to their false gods who are sick, and they'll say, I see you're praying to your gods, but you're not healing. You know why? Because that God is made out of plaster and stone and plastic. He doesn't exist. Let's pray to our God. And they're laying hands on people, and they're seeing people healed. Because they have faith. Their faith comes through hearing. Another way is by seeking God in prayer. 1 John 15:14. Can't be 15:14. Or it's not 1 John. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 1 Chronicles 6:21. And that's not the right verse. I am so sorry. Anyway, but I was probably thinking the people who are called by my name, if they seek my face and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them, I will restore their lands. Man, I am telling you, nothing charges your faith up more than when you pray to God and you see it answered. And then you want to pray more. I'll never forget, we prayed up here. We prayed up here as the storm, the fires were raging out west. And they said the only thing that is going to stop these fires is if it snows. And it was summer. And we prayed up here and we said, God, bring snow out there so people will say it is you. Travis sent me a message the other day. Look at this. The next day, they're calling for snow. I was like, praise God. That's what happens when you have power and faith. Jamie's boy was in Florida. Or not Gina, sorry. Get names confused. I'm still learning. Give me time. She said, we need to pray for him because he's right in the path of the storm. We prayed for him. That storm came up. It demolished everything around him, and his house was untouched. Science can't explain that. That was God. How can we increase this investment? We can remove the thought, God will only give us what we can handle. Think about David. Here was this young boy just taking food up to his brothers who are in a war. And he sees this giant of a man. When the Bible says he was a giant, they meant he was a giant. His armor alone weighed 500 pounds, the giant was wearing. And he heard him cursing out God. And David said, why is no one standing up to this man? He is cursing your God. Why are you not going out there? And they're like, I ain't fighting him. And David's like, I'll go. And Saul put on his armor, and David tried on Saul's armor. Saul was the king. And David's like, this armor doesn't fit. He takes the armor off. And he goes out there, not with weapons of war, but a slingshot. A slingshot against a giant, against a trained soldier. Should he be able to handle that on his own? What should have happened was the Goliath should have swatted him down like a little bug, and it should have been the end of it. God won't give you what you can handle. What's the point of that? If I lift a 5-pound weight and keep lifting a 5-pound weight and keep lifting a 5-pound weight, at the end of the month, I'll be able to lift a... But if I decide I'm going to lift a little bit more, I'm going to lift what I can't really handle, and I keep increasing it, by the end of the month, I can lift more, right? See, if you only do what you can do on your own, all you'll ever do is only what you can do on your own. David could not face down that giant. There was no way. But God was with him, and I love what David says to him. David says, Goliath says to him, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to eat you. I'm going to grind your bones. David looks at him and says, no, you're not. Because this day, my God is going to deliver you into my hands, and the vultures will eat of your body. And Goliath got mad, and he ran forward. And as he ran forward, David stepped back, and he took that slingshot, and he threw it, and he hit Goliath right between the eyes. The giant fell down, and David walked up to him, took Goliath's own sword, and chopped off the giant's head. Could David do that on his own? No. Last week, we talked about the spies that went, and Caleb and Josh were good. And they said, let's go into the promised land. The people were like, oh, there's giants there. And because they wouldn't go, they're forced to wander. And all the people wouldn't go, their generation died, except for Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb is now 80 years old. 80 years old, been wandering through the desert. He enters the promised land. He looks at Joshua and he goes, hey, do you see those mountains over there? You see the mountains where those giants live? Now, I know I'm 83 years old, but you tell me I can have those mountains. God's going to go with me, and we're going to go kill all those guys. 83 years old. Could Caleb do that on his own? Was God giving Caleb what he could handle? No, he was giving him so much more than he could handle. But Caleb said, I trust in you, God, not in my own strength. And with you, we're going to take this land. Listen to this very carefully. Being in a situation where you are in completely over your head and can only rely on God is not a bad thing. When you have to rely on your God, on God and not yourself, your faith will grow. Your faith will flounder and die if you are in a position where you can do everything on your own. When God told me he was calling me out of children's ministry, he told me one of the reasons he was calling me out is because I was to the point where I could do everything on my own in there. When we first started children's ministry, a lot of things happened. And God stripped away everything I was relying on. He said, "You gonna rely on me or not?" And I said, "I'm gonna rely on you, God." And my faith increased. My faith increased to a point where it was so easy for us that we didn't have to rely on God as much. And he said, "All right, your time's up now. Now I'm going to put you in a position where you're back over your head completely and you have to rely on me again." When I called my children's ministers, I said, "God has told me he wants you to come take over for me at Medford." You know what they said to me? They said, "No." And they said, "Okay." They said, "We need to pray about it. And we need to seek out wise, godly counsel on this." Which was amazing. Which is, that's exactly, if you call and say, that's what you want to hear. You're like, you don't want to hear, "Yeah, I'm all for this." You want to hear that they're praying about it. Then they came back to me and they said, "We are very, very scared. We can't do this on our own." You know what I said to them? I said, "Good. I don't expect you to do this on your own. I don't want someone who can do this on their own. I want someone who has to rely on God. We're looking to grow this church. We have growth coming. I don't want someone who thinks they can do everything on their own." And then I said to him, I said, "You are green as the day is long, that is for sure. But you have so much passion." I said, "I can teach you and God can help you become great leaders for our children. I can't teach passion. I would much rather have someone who is so devoted and sold out to God and willing to do whatever it takes. I will teach you how to be a leader. I can't teach you the passion it takes to follow God." Alexa was back in Pennsylvania crying because she was so afraid of the call. She knew she had to come back to Wisconsin. Even her family's like, "What are you doing here?" If you ever get a chance to hear her song, "The Unexpected Call," that their band does, it is amazing. It talks about what she went through. Praise God that she said, "God, take me where I can't do it on my own." That's why she's here. That's why Danny's not alone. Praise God for that. Praise God for people who answer the call and say, "God, take me where I can't do this on my own, because I know you will carry me through it." What results will my actions bring? Man, I want to go back for 1 second. In that parable, he says, "I know you reap where you have not sown." Every time I read that, you know what God was telling me? He's like, "Hey, Pastor Josh, that is Medford. You have not reaped and you have not sown in Medford. You have not done anything in Medford, but that harvest is ready. And you guys are about to go reap it." Every time I read that, he tells me, "That's Medford. Medford is ready for a revival." And I've been having a chance to talk with people. We're kind of the Northwoods. Once you get past here, it's the Northwoods. In fact, you tell people, "Where's Medford?" They're like, "But like, they don't understand like how far north is." But I've been talking to different pastors in the Northwoods. You know what they're all saying? God is telling them revival is coming. The harvest is about to come. And if we are continuing to grow God's investments, we will reap that harvest. And we will see these things. We'll see personal growth. When we grow God's investment, we'll see personal growth. That is what I want for each and every one of you. I don't want a lukewarm Christian. I want a Christian who is so on fire for God and is willing to fight. I don't care. Listen to me right now. I don't care if this church never grows past who's in here right now. If you all get on fire for God and live for God, then I don't care what else happens. I will work here part-time for the rest of my life if I have a church who's on fire for God over a church that's so huge but no, it's lukewarm. If we grow God's investment, we will have a greater, more powerful prayer life. Do you want to see miracles? Do you want to see the Spirit poured upon all flesh like the Bible says is going to happen? Do you want to be in here and hear words of wisdom coming directly from God? Do you want to be given visions? Do you want all this the Bible says is there? We grow our faith in God, this is what's going to happen. If we grow our faith in God, we will bear fruit. Think about that. Greater faith in God means more fruit. If we grow God's investment, we will be salt and light. And the best thing, the best part about this is if we grow God's investment, when we get to heaven, we will hear these words. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come into the joy of your master. I tell you what, I don't care about anything else. When I get to heaven, that's what I want to hear. I want to be used up and burnt out. So when I get to heaven, there is nothing left. So I have to have that glorified body because this body is done and used up for Christ. And I want him to wrap his arms around me and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come into the joy of your master. And when I look upon his wounds that my sins put upon him, and he wraps me up and he says, come into my joy, that's what I want. But we have a choice. You have a choice. You can grow God's investment for him, or you can be like the other servant and you can hide it away. If we hide it away, there's going to be no growth. No personal growth. This church won't grow. It'll be like the ocean. You know what happens if the tides don't move in the ocean? It just dies. It stagnates and there'll be death. Have you ever gone to a lake? It happens on the Old Plain all the time where a fish kill will happen, and all these fish are washed up on the shore, and there's that stink and that death. That you can smell. That's what will happen here. People will know this church because we'll stink like death. We'll just be another lukewarm church. Lukewarm Christians. More hypocrites, more bigots. Our prayer will be weaker. The Bible tells us the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Why would God answer our prayers if we are not giving back to him? If we are not growing his investment? Josh, if Brute Force started losing money every month and year after year was moving money, would you keep putting money into it? If Lacey quit doing her job, would you keep paying her? No. Even though she's your sister, you'd fire her. God's not going to answer our prayers if we're not investing back into him. He invested in us. He expects a return. If we are bringing that return, he's going to answer our prayers. Because the prayers of the righteous man availeth much. If we hide it away, we'll have no fruit. Like I said, people walk by and say, that's just another Christian. That's just another person who claims the name of Christ but doesn't even love his neighbor. They think the term I hear a lot was holier than thou. Well, you just think you're holier than thou. Man, I don't want everybody ever to say that about me. I want them to be like, that's that guy who's always doing stuff. He's always showing love and compassion. That's what I want to hear. There'll be no light, just darkness. And the last thing that's going to happen, I want you to hear this and listen carefully. Jesus does not mince words. Every single time he brings up the words outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth, he is referring to hell. Every single time, in every parable he brings that up, he's referring to hell. He says, if you do not grow my investment, you will then reap the punishment. You're either going to grow the investment and reap the reward, or you're going to reap the punishment. Heed this warning right now. If we stay complacent, if we don't grow the investment, we will hear the words, you wicked and slothful servant. Jesus was not mincing words when he talked about hell. Don't be deceived. Once saved, always saved. Coming to Christ and being a Christ follower is a decision you make. It is a gift you receive. And it is a gift you can give back. This last one. What will I do with the investment? I have nothing on this one because I can't answer this question. This is up to you as individuals, as Christ followers, as Christians. What will you do with the investment God has placed into you? You, each and every one of you, were bought with a price. I believe when Christ died on that cross, if he didn't see your face, he knew your name. And he was dying for you personally. The Bible says that he was unrecognizable when they were done with him. No wonder why when the women went to the tomb and he had risen, he was standing there, they didn't recognize him because the last time they saw him, he looked horrible. He did that for you. You were purchased with a price you have been invested personally in. Now you have to answer this last question for yourselves. What will you do with that investment? My prayer is that this whole church will be like the servant who got 5 talents and brought back 5 more. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the investment you made in each and every one of us here. I pray that we would heed these words, each and every one of us, myself included, Lord. There is so much, each and every one of us could be doing for you. Let us keep going. Let us be used up and wore out when we enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's double the investment, triple the investment, quadruple the investment for you, Lord. This is all for you. For you alone are worthy in honor of all of our praise. We just thank you and praise you. We give you the rest of this day, Lord. I pray blessings upon on everyone here, Lord. I pray that you would show up in their lives all week and keep them going strong for you so we can gather here again in your name. I pray that you would give them help them get safely where they are going today, tomorrow, and for the rest of the week, Lord. Be with them. Be with them all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Next week will be part 2 of our series, Star Wars. Looking forward to that one. We're going to recognize we are in a battle and who our real enemy is. You guys are all dismissed. Have a great week, everybody. This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. When the church is alive, this is what it sounds like.